A65. Number 9B.
Okay, so at that point, he began to investigate what are these four levels of science, and he could see that in the textbook we would have to distinguish between that level of science which deals with error, which is Christian science, but that cannot be really the core of Mrs. Eddy's discovery, that the core would be not just to deal with error, but to deal with truth, with spiritual values, with individual ideas, and that he could see would be on the level of absolute Christian science, that is the purpose of absolute Christian science, namely to show forth how the divine principle manifests itself constantly through its own operation as infinitely diversified ideas of principle. That therefore this would be really the science of ideas if we would concentrate and devote ourselves to the investigation of how the divine principle expresses itself in infinite idea for the sake of bringing out the ideas of principle, and not so much for the sake that this idea will go and heal something, correct something. So at that point, really, he arrived at the point of the science of ideas, the Christ science, calculating the infinite possibilities of ideas, the calculus of ideas. But even at that point, he began to see that this could not be the whole of Mrs. Eddy's discovery. That actually he could see that it isn't so, that in being always something new is being brought forth. Because he could read that suddenly Mrs. Eddy would say, there is nothing new, there is no new creation, everything existed since time immemorial, so that no new creation is necessary, is possible, or say is necessary. And he began to realize that therefore all that what seemed from the human standpoint to be the newness of ideas and the calculus of ideas is not the newness of ideas, but actually the oldness of ideas, the isness of ideas. It has existed since ever. And that brings our consciousness a step higher, namely to the consciousness of divine science, where we see, oh, we always lived and moved and have our being in God. So all the ideas are being brought back into God. That's divine science. They begin to realize nothing is new under the heaven or under the sky?
Sun.
Under the sun. Oh. Yeah. We say under the heaven, and so here it is under the sun. Huh? That there is only a big state of isness, and in that isness is included all, and you hear already the tone of divine science, that all ideas are already included in being. It's the all in all, principle and idea one, principle and idea coexistent, and therefore there is nothing new. Can you see? It is as if it would correct, in a way, the aspect of absolute Christian science where it could give the impression that the Creator brings forth constantly a new creation. That's not possible. Because if that would be so, then the Creator would never be complete. He would always be in a state that his creation is not complete. Therefore, he would not be complete. Only when we touch divine science, even that aspect is corrected by saying, no, principle and idea is one. God includes already everything and circles everything, embraces everything. It's the all in all. And so that brought forth a higher sense of of computing just in terms of synonymous terms and staying in the consciousness of the synonymous terms, and no more calculating new ideas, but seeing that in the synonymous term all the calculations are included and are from everlasting to everlasting. So divine science tells us being is, and being is from everlasting to everlasting. There is nothing new under the sun. Which then, as I told you, finally, in 1949, brought him to the insight that he said, actually, this is not really the pinnacle of science, to see that, but to see that there is just one science, and that there is just principle itself. That even that we see that all ideas are included in God is still a human concept that is intertwined in this vision, and that we even should lose that human concept and see there is no spatial sense of God, there is no sense of a universe of God. This is still a human concept that we have a universe, because it's still a sense of space and time that we have, and so we can even eliminate that aspect of space. And if you eliminate that aspect of space and time, we just have the infinite one, the only. That's the way how thought ascended. Now, this is the way, I think, that we followed more or less really our syllabus class through these 5 years. That we have started more or less the same way, not quite. We started out with the analysis of the synonymous terms, but introduced then afterwards the days of creation. And so you can see that this is a terrific order. But even when we come to the level of science itself, where we have seen that it is just showing that being is law. You know, when we did the question of law, that the divine principle is a universe of law, of lawfulness. But then we began to see something more. And then we began to see something about structure. And so after John Dolly left us, the main accent shifted from order really to structure. And we began to investigate the structural sense of this I am that I am, the structural sense of science, and began to see that this structural sense of science rests on categories, and that these categories within that comprehensive all, within that integral whole, is presenting itself through laws. And so our interest shifted from structure to the laws that were ruling in the structure. And we began to find out how we could epitomize, or how we could define, that's better, how we could define the elements of the laws. Think of my book on the minor prophets. There, for the first time, I showed this method of bringing the infinite one subject, like all the prophets together, into a structure of laws. The whole structure of laws. So that was a further expansion, really, of what science itself is. So we began really to expand just the level of science itself by showing that it is not just science itself, but science itself is only then a science when it is constituted of laws. That's the definition of science, that it must have laws and is defined through laws. So a whole new period began, and that period really could only come into our consciousness once one has seen really the three big categories which constitute the whole have been really seen and understood in its tonality. From that point on, we were able to see everywhere structure, that the one is a structure, that the whole textbook is one structure, is one textbook, but within itself a whole structure. That, parts or many parts of the Bible constitute of such structures, like the prophets, like the epistles, that they constitute the structure of a matrix that can not only be shown as a matrix, but can be shown in their laws. Now, we have done very little about laws, and that would have been perhaps another subject that we could have taken up as a syllabus class, but I felt it is not timely at the present moment, that those three great categories first have to be digested, so to say, to the point where the student can feel those categories, not only reason about them, so that you begin to see that with the level of science we actually haven't finished, but that we can take now the level of science and expand it, and must expand it. And we did it through, as I said, first through the question of what is structure. Structure, therefore, relying on laws, on structural laws. And at that point, we could define one law after the other. Mrs. Eddy speaks about the laws of God. She doesn't use law in the singular. There are laws. And the question is always, what are those laws? Have you ever found somebody who would tell you from the textbook or from the Bible what those laws are? They only could give some rules at the utmost, but not laws. Can we, like another scientist, like a physicist, like a chemist, and so on, can we define a certain law through the elements of a law? That is what every scientist does in the world. Can we do that in Christian science? And as you know, perhaps through reading or looking at my book on the Minor Prophets, there I introduced how we could define laws through the categories, so that every prophet is showing forth another law, not another story, not just another symbolization, not just another illustration. He's showing forth another very fundamental law of being. Now, this is something very few students have really touched and are getting familiar with it, but the time will come when that is possible. But you can already sense in which direction really the development of our understanding will flow. That we cannot just be happy by saying, well, on the level of science itself, there is just the infinite one, the infinite one principle. That's only a summarizing text, a summarizing caption for a whole scientific realm that opens up there. It's interesting that John Dolly, when he saw that fourth level, that he didn't just call it science. He called it science itself. I don't know why, but John Dolly always worked that way. He had he was a genius in feeling out scientific problems without really being able to spell them out. But he was a genius in that way. He never explained what he meant by science itself. Just said it. That's the way he was teaching us. You know, he was seldom teaching us anything. He was telling us, stating it. He was never teaching us what mind is and what spirit is. here and there, you know, in those 6,000 pages that he has printed, he would say, well, naturally, you know, mind is law, mind is creator, mind is power, mind is force, and that's that, you know. And he would say, spirit is this and that, and so on. See? And so on. That was then life, truth, and love, and so on. So that was not his job. See, each one has an individual mission, an individual job, and that was not his job to explain it. The bigger contribution that he gave was in sensing out where and how the idea would develop. And so he could see that fourth level is science itself. And that means that itself means that it is comprising within itself all what the science implies. What the science implies. Not what the divine science implies. Divine science implies the divine nature. Not what Christian science implies. That is science only in the aspect of the Savior. But science itself. And science itself means that it has all what the science demands. Demands system, categories, laws, interpretation, defining of the laws, defining of everything. See, all that was a field that was still open when he left us. So the next thing was, you see, that we began to see structure. That science is a structural sense of being. If science would not give a structure of a subject, it would have to give it a myth. There is no science without the structural concept of a science. It doesn't exist. So at that point one began to see more and more, oh, there is more than just order in being. John Dolly showed a lot of order, began to see something about structures of the matrix. And then we had to see what really structure is and how one can restructure a structure. And only by restructuring a structure you could individualize the phenomena of the oneness of being. So with simple tools of the three categories of being, you can have a structure, and you can, with that structure, restructure endlessly. See? But the next point was that one says, but how do you restructure endlessly? You can only restructure endlessly when you see laws at work. When you can see that the law of God can express itself as the laws of God. And so one began to see that with every new structure you could get new laws and define the laws through the elements. Yes? But in order to do that, you had to introduce another point of great importance into the science. Isn't it? It says science interprets. Therefore, you have to introduce also the science of interpretation, scientific text interpretation, unknown to that point, absolutely unknown to that point, what scientific text interpretation is. Scientific text interpretation is not what we interpret into science. Scientific interpretation is not what we read in the textbook or what we read into the textbook. That's not scientific interpretation. That's individual interpretation. That's individual subjective interpretation. That may be a nice inspirational interpretation. That's not scientific interpretation. But Mrs. Eddy demands in the textbook scientific interpretation. Scientific interpretation means that everything must be interpreted from principle not through us, but through science, through its own categories, that the interpretation must be system intrinsic. There must not be interpretations which we like and which we sense and which we, in an inspired way, feel I can see in the Bible and the textbook. That's not scientific interpretation. That's just our individual, subjective, inspirational sense, and it can be quite nice, it can be quite a help for a while, it can be quite of some use, but it doesn't lead anywhere. And so the great question had come up, what is scientific interpretation? Can one interpret the text so that no personal view, no inspirational, personal, subjective view enters in, but that the principle only interprets itself through its own categories? Therefore, the interpretation must always be in the categories, must always be an interpretation that flows along the categories, either of the synonyms or of the four or of the levels. And only then do you get true interpretation. At the moment we began to see that, you see, the textbook opened up. And we could see the structure of the textbook. See, the structure of the textbook, as we see it, or as I have presented it in my book, or in the talks, is not an inspirational interpretation which I give. Not at all. Has nothing to do with that. It is principle's own interpretation through its own categories, and nothing more than that. This is a great difference. Do you know what the difference is? The difference is that you can spend a lifetime, if you don't know the text interpretation, you can spend a lifetime on reading and studying the textbook without understanding it. That's as much as that it amounts to. That it's a tragedy that then we can, that we try without principle's own interpretation of itself. We try to get something out of the text. We study the text, we pray over the text, we expect something from the text. The text touches us here a bit and there a bit. It helps us, inspires us, it lifts us out here and there, out of a mess and so on. But it does not lead anywhere. It only leads to a few atomistic truths. Is it so or is it not so? You can answer that yourself honestly, and it's a main issue. It's a terrific issue. Do you know how many years you have studied a textbook and you didn't know what you were studying except little sentences that remained with you? Did you, through reading the textbook, know afterwards what is in the chapter on prayer in an ordered way? What is in the chapter on the atonement and Eucharist in an ordered way? The way you would know the story when you read any novel, then you know the story from beginning to end in order, but not with the textbook. Did you know afterwards why atonement and Eucharist comes after prayer and before marriage? Why marriage cannot be in the first chapter? Did you know that after 50 years of studying the textbook? No! Not one. It's impossible. Why? Because one must know the science of interpretation, the scientific text interpretation. And I have never seen such resistance to the idea of scientific text interpretation. I don't know why. It's the same resistance as the church had against the synonymous term. And the same resistance I see under those who study the science of Christian Science, that they have a terrific resistance against text interpretation. Against against scientific text interpretation. They like text interpretation. They interpret to you any sentence, any verse in the Bible in a beautiful way. It's just lovely. But it doesn't amount to very much, because it's all atomistic thinking. And it's all one's approach to. Whereas scientific text interpretation is the key. And without scientific text interpretation, the science will go lost. That's my prediction. If we can't bring about students, a nucleus of students who master scientific text interpretation of the textbook mainly, and perhaps of the Bible, but mainly of the textbook, because it gives the science of it in an abstract and in a sense and with an exact terminology, the science will not survive. Will not survive. No hope for it. So you can see we go up and up and up. We never stall. We must be a pioneer. Without that, things come to a point and then they flatten out and go lost. That is it. We make a break here.